Hi, this is Tim Johnson of Traders Realty. I know that moving is an emotional experience. Meet my client, Greg Matthews.
Yeah, I was a first-time home buyer and kind of new to the process. And Tim, from day one, allowed me to take the process at my own speed. And I had a lot of questions for him. He was very patient with me. It made me feel like I was important. And as a first-time home buyer, I don't know how many times you're going to get that. That meant a lot.
Each home has a tale to tell. Lives lived and memories made.
A couple of my friends have gone through the home buying process, being first-time home buyers as well. And I've fully recommended Tim to anybody that'll listen.
It's more than a transaction. It's your story.
Tim Johnson, realtor with Traders Realty, will tell your home story. Tim is a professional, does his homework, and will impress you with his attention to detail and work ethic. Bottom line, he'll help you sell or buy a home quickly and hassle-free. Call Tim today and start to move your story beyond expectation and into action. Tim Johnson, realtor with Traders Realty. Find out more at timjohnsonrealtor.com.
Business. Industry. Community.
And there's the president. He's coming out. He came out first. I see Aaron Shack with him. I see Ray LaHood with him.
Family. Leadership.
The Peoria of today is in much better shape than the Peoria of 25 years ago.
It's everything that makes Peoria, Peoria. It's in the neighborhood.
Welcome to In the Neighborhood on 1470 WMBD with your hosts, Tim Johnson and Stacy Borhol. Tim is a realtor with Traders Realty, and Stacy is a mortgage lender at Busey Bank. And together, they have their finger on the heartbeats of the heartland. Each week at this time, they sit down with the people who move the Peoria area. People in your community that lead organizations, businesses, and government. These are the people in your neighborhood. You'll learn who they are, what they're involved in, and why. It's In the Neighborhood with Tim Johnson and Stacy Borhol.
Hi, Stacy. Happy Father's Day.
It's not Father's Day yet, Tim.
Good, you're paying attention. We need your stories. Stories about why you think your father's the greatest.
Yep, and if your father's the greatest, go to PeoriaArea.com, tell your story, and then Tim and I are going to pick a couple of the top few and read them on our Father's Day show.
Should be fun. Join us on PeoriaArea.com. Stacy, today we have two guests, Elizabeth Grant and Bev Riggins. We're talking about Race for the Cure.
Yes, we are. We have Bev Riggins, who's going to tell us her story, and she's also going to give us a couple of the numbers from the results of the Susan G. Komen race.
We also have on-the-street interviews that you did during the race. How'd that work?
That was a really cool experience to be able to be there to listen to these ladies' stories, and the families come together, families, sisters, friends. That whole experience was pretty amazing, and I really can't wait for that show.
If you haven't seen the race actually happen going down the street, it's amazing to watch the number of people that are running down the street and just participating for the Race for the Cure.
Yep.
Here we go.
Well, good morning. I am here today with my friend Bev Riggins, here to talk to us about a little bit about the Susan G. Komen walk that was a couple weekends ago, and tell us a little bit about her story as a breast cancer survivor. Thanks so much for coming in today, Bev.
Thank you for having me.
So you have a little bit of a story to tell us about your situation as a breast cancer survivor. Tell us about it.
Almost 6 years ago, Stacy, I found a lump in my breast. And, you know, unfortunately, 1 out of 8 women will go through that same experience. So first of all, you know, I would just encourage everyone to do their monthly self-exams, because that is how a lot of people find breast cancer to begin with. And I went and had that checked out and was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I felt like many women feel like at that point that it's surreal, that it can't possibly be happening. But I was determined that I was going to make that experience the most positive experience I could possibly have, and that's exactly what's happened to me.
Wow, that's great. And you are big as being a part of the teams for the Susan G. Komen walk. How long have you been doing that walk?
I have actually been involved in the walk for over 20 years. I always walked in the race because I had family and friends who had been diagnosed. In fact, my husband's grandmother died of breast cancer, and so that went way back. And so I walked in her memory, and you know, I think everybody knows somebody who's had breast cancer. So I've been involved in the Race for the Cure for a long time. But 3 years ago, I was asked to be team's chair for the race. And that has opened up a whole new thing for me in the fact that I'm now in love with teams. I started my own team, and this year we had 40 members on our team and raised over $3,000.
That is awesome. What is, do you know what the average size of the teams are out there?
I don't know average size of team. You have to have 15 people to make a team. But what a lot of people don't know is that team can be from anyone all over the U.S. You can have team members from your Christmas card list if you want to and have people join your team. Since all team sign-ups are online, it really doesn't make any difference where your team members are from.
Well, that's pretty neat. I know I signed up online this year, and it was a pretty easy process.
Oh, yeah.
So do you know much of the numbers from the walk that was the other weekend?
Yeah, I have a few preliminary numbers. The Susan Komen office here in Peoria, the Memorial affiliate, really does not have a final total until at least 90 days after the race.
Oh, wow.
Because they still have money coming in weeks after. So when I talked to them this morning, they said the goal was $1 million, and they are very close to that goal at this point, which is awesome. I'm very happy about that. The team part of that, well, first of all, let me say, out of that million, $145,500 comes from total fundraising. That means that the people who were in the race raised $145,500. That has nothing to do with registration fee. That's over the top of the registration fee. And of that $145,500, $106,400 came from teams.
Wow.
So we're really proud of the fact that teams really played an integral part of raising money for the Susan Komen Race for the Cure.
What an amazing event.
Yeah.
I know I was there, and I got to partake in a few live interviews that we'll hear sometime on the show, hopefully. And it just that whole experience of seeing all those people, and you have men, women, and children, and just the flood of people was such an amazing experience. And, I mean, that Saturday was such a beautiful day.
Oh, it was. We were so concerned about the weather forecast, and thank goodness that was wrong. And when the sun came out, it was just wonderful. I had a woman on my team who was a one-year survivor. She'd never walked in the Race for the Cure. So it was a wonderful experience for her being able to be a part of that for the first time. And you know, many teams are based on people who are honoring the memory of someone who's lost the battle to breast cancer or celebrating a survivor. And so it was just really inspirational to be there. I would encourage anyone to sign up who has never been a part of it before. And you have another possibility in this area, since Bloomington Normal is going to have their own race on 9/10/11.
Wow.
And so you can go to PeoriaMemorial.org and sign up for that race on 9/10/11 in Bloomington.
Is that the first one for Bloomington?
Yes, it is.
That's great information.
Yeah.
I'll have to get signed up for that next race.
Yeah,
Are you already signed up?
I haven't yet. No, I haven't.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us in regards to the race, some of your favorite parts or experiences or any goals or tips for our other women out there who are dealing with trials and tribulations of cancer?
You know, I just think like I said, I tried to make my experience as positive as I possibly could. It was probably one of the only times in my life when I went through treatment that I really took care of myself. And you realize during that time that you are the most important thing and your health is the most important thing. And everything else just falls away. It's the support of family and friends, the love that you feel that just keeps you going. And it's tough to lose your hair. It's tough to go through chemo, but I had a lot of support. I had a lot of people praying for me, and it ended up being, it opened up a totally new avenue in my life that I had no idea that I would have ever been involved with. So it's a good thing.
I am so glad that you came here today, Bev. I know we've known each other for a few years, met through a networking group, which was pretty cool. And then it's just surprisingly, because, you know, you never think that you have someone around you that has cancer. But then lo and behold, the next day or whatever it may be, you meet someone. I lost a great aunt to breast cancer when I was really young and did not understand the concept in any way, shape, or form. But what an amazing woman she was. And, you know, to hear other people's stories is just a great thing to be able to do. So thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come down here and talk with us.
Thanks, Stacy.
Thank you. Tell me who you're here with today.
I'm here with my friend Rhonda and my friend Emily.
And you are?
My name's Lori.
Lori, and can you tell us why you're here today?
Because Race for the Cure is a great cause, and we came to support it.
And you're a survivor?
I am.
For how long?
About 17 months.
17 months, congratulations. How are you feeling today?
I feel great.
Feel great, and are you from here?
I'm from Metamora.
Okay, and how long have you been coming to the Susan Komen Walk?
This is actually only my second year.
Second year?
Mm-hmm. Okay. She's been here a few more times, I think.
How many times have you been here?
I knew that question was coming. I don't know. A lot. All I can tell you is my first year I got hailed on.
Okay. Who am I here with today?
Monica Stewart.
And who's with you?
Katie Stewart, Olivia Stewart, and my mom, Paula Claude.
And what?
And my sister Michelle Lloyd, who doesn't want to be listened to.
Okay. So what brings you here today?
We've been doing this for about almost 20 years, and my mom's a survivor.
Awesome. How long have you been a survivor for?
I've been a survivor now for about 3.5 years.
3.5 years. That is awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So glad you guys are here today. How is there anything else that motivates you about this event that you want to share with people?
We have several relatives that are survivors too. So, it was before we were even knew anybody that was a survivor. Just the whole thought of coming out here. When it was exciting when it was just all women, and then they opened it up. But either way, it's still fun to turn around when you're out in the crowd and look behind you and see a sea of people. It's pretty exciting.
That's awesome. Yeah. And where are you guys from?
Peoria.
Peoria. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who am I here with today?
Stacy Signetti.
Janie Kahn.
And why are you guys here?
My mom had breast cancer a couple years ago, and we came out to support her.
Awesome.
And her mom is my sister, and that's why I'm here, and I'm also supporting my sister-in-law, who was diagnosed recently with breast cancer.
And how long have they been survivors?
Mom's been 2 years.
And my sister-in-law, 1.
And how long have you been coming to the Susan Komen Walk?
Since we were little.
I've been coming since it first started. And for a while, I saved all my T-shirts. So I had a big, huge part of my closet that had every year's T-shirts. But I finally had to move them out.
Wow. So what's your favorite thing about this event?
Watching the survivors walk.
Just the celebration of life and what these ladies have gone through. And, the research. And it's just awesome to see that when they walk by, it's a miracle mile.
That is awesome. Thank you, guys.
No problem.
You're welcome. Who do I have here today?
Joanne.
Michelle.
Another Michelle.
Bonnie.
Patty.
Awesome. And what brings you guys here today?
The Race for the Cure.
Okay. And do we have a survivor amongst us?
No.
We don't, but we have several people we know
okay.
that are survivors that we are walking on.
Okay.
Behalf of. Yep.
Awesome. And all family?
Yes.
Yep.
And
mom,
generations?
Sisters, yeah. And
three generations.
Three generations. Yep. That's awesome. How long have you guys been coming for?
What?
Six or more.
Yeah.
6 or more years. And what's your favorite thing about the race?
My favorite thing about the race is actually behind us and the survivors, the survivor walk up there and recognition of them, and then also completing the race. So
we usually do it in 45 minutes.
Wow. All walking and you running?
No, not this year.
I like the sea of people at the very start, just the big looking around and seeing the sea of people all at the start line.
That's awesome.
It's an amazing place.
Thank you guys so much for your time this morning. Enjoy the beautiful day.
Thank you.
I'm here with Elizabeth Grant today. She's a friend of mine. We've known each other for not forever, but
about 10, 12 years.
Maybe, yeah. You have two wonderful children and a husband. Tell us your story.
Well, about 7 years ago, I was 28 years old, and I was nursing my infant son. I guess he was about 3 months old at the time when I felt a lump. I just didn't think anything of it. I thought I had a blocked milk duct. And so about a month or two later, during my annual appointment, I finally went in and mentioned it to my midwife, and she did not like the looks of it. And so immediately she scheduled a mammogram, and then that was followed by a biopsy, which was diagnosed the following day. So basically 4 days after, everything got moving really quickly, and it was discovered that I had stage 2B breast cancer, actually two different types of cancer, a ductal and a lobular, which is less common. And I was pretty shocked. I had no idea. I couldn't even fathom that something like that would happen, because I just have no family history of breast cancer. Of course, being only 28 was quite a shock. Devastating. I have three sisters, and all three of my sisters and my mom were pretty shocked. And I think I took that day to just kind of let it sink in and process it. I might have shed a tear or two, but for the most part, I just said, okay, you know, let's get this fixed. Let's get it treated. Let's move on. And this is just a hiccup in my life. Let's just, you know, I kind of approached it as though I have the flu. You know, I just need to be treated and life goes on. It's not that big of a deal. And for the most part, I found it very easy to look at the bright side of things. I knew it would be inevitable that I would lose both my breasts and my hair. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to lose my hair, at least I don't have to shave, and that'll be great. And also getting to pick out different kinds of hats and wigs, I thought would be really fun, and just be able to have something to look forward to. And so I kind of approached it that way. I did go through chemotherapy for a few months, and, you know, that was just a season in my life. And I went through some treatments, taking tamoxifen for 5 years, and everything seemed to be fine. And then on that sixth year, it turned out that my cancer came back. And now for the past year, I have been going through treatments for breast cancer that's in my bones. It's basically in my entire skeleton. And so that was pretty shocking. No one wants to have to deal with it again. But I always told myself, you know, there's that possibility of it coming back. And if it comes back, it's not going to break me. We'll just deal with it at the time. And, you know, I just wouldn't trade anything. People think I'm crazy when I say that. But when you go through something like this, you know, it can either make you or break you, I always say. And, you know, during this time, I had so much support. My faith in God just grew so much that I would not trade this time in the valley when I can actually see God working in my life and all around me so much more clearer than I ever have before. And because of that, it's worth it. And I will go through whatever I must have to go through.
You went through the first portion of it, and we kind of got through that. Your hair was growing back, and you were dealing, you know, life was coming back, so to say. It really hit you pretty hard, or did it the second time around?
It did, especially because I had no idea that it came back in my bones. I mean, it's not something that you can think about. I didn't have broken bones that would trigger, you know, my knowledge. Basically, what happened is I developed a swollen tongue, and I thought I was probably allergic to something, and I went and got tested, and through a long, probably about a 2-month process, it was determined that I had a tumor at the base of my skull. And when I found that out, I just lost it. I thought, oh no, I have cancer that's in my brain now, and I'm going to lose my memory. I'm going to lose my functions. I'm, you know, not be able to walk or do anything. And I literally started planning my funeral and just, you know, thinking about the legacy I would leave my kids, because my children right now are 9 and 7. And then a couple of weeks later, I found out that it is not in my brain, it's in my bones. And I felt this huge sigh of relief. Not that it being in my bones is all that wonderful, but it's manageable. And inevitably, somewhere down the line, the cancer will grow into a soft organ, but we don't know when that's going to happen. So as long as we can keep the cancer contained in the bones, then that's a good state to be in right now.
How have you coped with, when you think about all the things? I mean, you can really get inundated by your thoughts, I'm sure, going through
this. There's definitely moments of depression. My personality, although I tend to look at the bright side of things, I also have a little bit of a melancholy tendency. And so if I if I'm doing too much resting and too much sleeping, then I'm not busy enough with my brain or with my actions, and it can be very easy for me to kind of slip into a little bit of despair. It's at those times that I really am aware of that happening, so I start to think about all my blessings and start to focus on my family, my husband and my children, and that helps. That helps me tremendously. I think so much of it is your thoughts and in your brain and how you perceive life and how you perceive yourself. And I tend to think there's no reason, it's not necessary to think the worst. I mean, nobody knows what the future is going to hold. I mean, someone that is perfectly healthy has just as much chance of dying in a car accident in a week than I do in a month from cancer. We just don't know. So I don't want to live my life thinking the worst, that, you know, I'm on borrowed time. Yet, in one aspect, it's good to think about it that way because it helps me to live each day to the fullest. Whereas most people think that they're going to live forever. We just plan and we just think that, you know, I'm going to live to see my grandchildren and all of that. And while I wish and hope and pray for that, the truth and the reality is that's probably not likely for myself in my case. So I definitely want to make the most of every day and every moment that I have with my children, which I think is a good place to be. I think it's good for all of us to want to make the most and leave a good legacy for our children, rather than just assuming that we're always going to be around.
So, Elizabeth, you have two little ones. You said a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old. And yes. How are they dealing with this?
Oh, it's hard to know. I can't get inside their little heads. But we take it day by day, and we're real honest with them. And they seem to accept that this is the new norm. And they ask all sorts of questions. And like I said, my husband and I are really honest with them. We talk about heaven a lot. My son asked if I was going to die when we first talked about me having cancer. And I was just, you know, pretty frank. And I said, yeah, well, everybody's going to die. We just don't know when. And so he seemed to accept that I wasn't going to be leaving anytime in the, you know, immediate future.
One thing that I've enjoyed reading is your blog. Talk to us a little bit. Tell us what that blog is.
Okay. Well, I started writing an online journal with my blog a year ago. It was last May 3rd that I was officially diagnosed with metastasis breast cancer in my bones. I've always liked to write and, oh goodness, nothing professional or anything, just writing in a journal, writing my thoughts down. And I have found that it's been so therapeutic for myself just to have an outlet. And a lot of times when I'm writing my thoughts, a lot of it is to update my family and friends about treatments and things like that. But I also, in the back of my head, think about writing for my children someday when I'm no longer around. They'll have something tangible of mine to see my journey and to see what I went through, and so that they'll know and they'll be able to cope hopefully a little bit better knowing that I'm having a positive attitude and that I can praise God even in the middle of something so horrible. Because of my quirky personality, I titled my blog Dead Man Skipping because I wanted people to think about enjoying life, not being a dead man walking toward your end, but, you know, skipping along and enjoying the days that you have, because really every one of us is heading, with every single day, we're heading toward our end. So why not skip along and enjoy the days?
So deadmanskipping.com?
It's deadmanskipping.blogspot.com.
Okay.
Yeah, all viewers are welcomed.
Where are you now as far as treatment?
Well, I just spent 8 months doing chemotherapy. The months before that was kind of a trial and error with hormone therapies, and we discovered that they weren't working, so they put me on chemotherapy. Pretty rigorous, two chemo drugs at the same time, and it was pretty hard on my body. And then after the holidays, they cut one of my chemo drugs and just had me on one. And the test have showed that the chemo has been working and the activity of the cancer is decreasing. So that's wonderful. And so my doctor decided to take me off of chemo for a while so that my body can grow and heal a little bit and some of the white counts can build back up. So they're putting me on some different hormone therapy while I'm taking a break from chemo to hopefully keep the chemo at bay and keep it from growing. And I'll be monitored regularly to see if the chemo is or if the cancer is coming back. And inevitably in the future it will grow and come back. We just don't know when that will be. I could be in this state for weeks, months, or even years. So we're hoping and praying that the cancer doesn't grow back for a long, long time, and I can stay off of chemo, but inevitably I will be back on chemo, and it'll be a regimen of rounds of chemo, taking a break, more chemo, taking a break, and that's pretty much how my life will be until the end. And I've accepted that.
I am also on the board for the Cancer Center for Healthy Living, so I'm just kind of curious, have you been able to benefit from some of the values that we have for you guys?
Oh my goodness, yes, I love the Cancer Center for Healthy Living. In fact, 7 years ago when I was going through chemo, I had a chemo treatment every other Monday, and I would schedule a massage on my good Monday, and it just gave me something to look forward to. So I would have a bad week and then a good week, and during that bad week, oh, it was horrible, but I always told myself, I get a massage on Monday, and so that would get me through, and I just love it. And even now, in the years that I've been pretty healthy, I would still go back for a massage just to kind of for maintenance, and now I try to schedule one at least once a month, but they book up pretty fast. But I love getting massages, and I've also been pretty active at doing aerobics. They have aerobics that is offered for free. They also have yoga and some gentle weightlifting, and pretty regularly for a couple of years I was doing the aerobics every Tuesday and the weightlifting on Fridays, and you meet a lot of great people. They become a family to you, and it's sort of kind of an accountability in itself. You want to go and exercise not just to take care of yourself, but also to just to see your friends again. Because you know if you're not there, they're going to wonder.
Absolutely. So you have this other family then amongst the Cancer Center. I know they do a lot of educating too. Dietary, have you utilized any of that?
No, not really. They also had some support groups, and I remember attending a support group a few years ago. I think I went 3 or 4 times, and this particular one was for young cancer patients and survivors, because it doesn't tend to hit a lot of young women in their 20s and 30s. So that was really important to get to see and be with other people that are going through what you're going through.
That's awesome. Kind of help you know that you're not alone.
Exactly.
I don't think cancer discriminates against age anymore.
Nope.
How has Dale been coping with all of this?
Well, you have to ask him. It's hard to know. He often tells me that he is directly related to me and how I'm doing. And if I seem to have a good, positive attitude, then it kind of rolls off onto him. And he tends to have a better outlook on things as well. I think men in general are less apt to share their feelings and emotions. But I can tell that this time around, things are a little bit different because the cancer is so much farther, and it's going to be an ongoing treatment rather than just a summer, just a little season of time. So because of that, it's made our marriage stronger. We kind of cherish the moments in each other a little bit more than we used to. And so that's been a blessing.
You participated this year in the race. How long have you participated?
Well, having no family or friends that had been touched with breast cancer, I had not done the Race for the Cure until my very first year, and I was going through chemo for 1 month, so this was 7 years ago when I did my first race, and since I was right in the middle of chemo, I was so very weak, so my friends rented a wheelchair and pushed me through the whole race, and it was quite relaxing for myself, but very very hard, difficult for my friends to push me up the hills and stuff, but it was quite a fun memory. And I've done the race every year except one since then. And this past year, a couple of weeks ago, the weather was not supposed to be great. It was supposed to be cold and rainy. And I had decided I was not going to participate because of my immune system being so low. I knew I wouldn't be able to handle it. But I woke up that morning and I heard the birds chirping out my window, and I thought, you know, I don't think it's going to rain, so I'm going to try. And I was going to originally participate in the race by riding in my motorized scooter, but I decided that I was going to try to walk it. So I put my little back brace on, and I walked, and it was a gorgeous day. And I brought my daughter with me, and it was such a good experience, wonderful memory.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's In the Neighborhood with your hosts, Tim Johnson and Stacy Borjo. You can find out more about the show and listen to previous shows at PeoriaArea.com. Discover who's appearing on future shows and leave questions for future guests at PeoriaArea.com. Join us next week to find out what's happening around the Peoria area as Tim and Stacy talk to those who are making it happen in the neighborhood.
Hi, this is Tim Johnson of Traders Realty. I know that moving is an emotional experience. Meet my client, Becky Curris.
My husband and I found ourselves selling a home, also needing to
go into a bigger home. Tim was actually very good at listening to all of our needs. He helped us with every step of the way. There wasn't anything that he didn't know.
Each home has a tale to tell. Lives lived and memories made.
He makes you feel so comfortable through the whole process. I really just put my trust in him. He did not quit until he found the home that we said yes to.
It's more than a transaction. It's your story.
Tim Johnson, realtor with Traders Realty, will tell your home story. Tim is a professional, does his homework, and will impress you with his attention to detail and work ethic. Bottom line, he'll help you sell or buy a home quickly and hassle-free. Call Tim today and start to move your story beyond expectation and into action. Tim Johnson, realtor with Traders Realty. Find out more at timjohnsonrealtor.com.